Well, good morning.
Just you get this time of the year, you probably are getting lots of mail here wanting you to buy something or send money or whatever. I thought this was kind of unique. This is put out by Samaritan's Purse. It's the same deal that's doing the shoe boxes, only it says this gift catalog. And it isn't anything that they're going to send to you in the mail, but it's something you can help adults with, you know, because that's primarily for kids. But and it's just a whole lot of lots of different prices, you know. But you can send money that would help feed a family. Send money towards drilling a well. Buying baby chicks. You can buy a family a goat or give towards a building a hospital, just all kinds of different things. And if that's anything you're interested in, I'll leave it up here. I only have one, but I'm sure that's probably all on their website too. But, okay, so we're going to be looking today at 2 Peter 3. 10 to 18, the day of the Lord. Okay. Any particular prayer requests here this morning before we get started? Yeah, Mark?
Please pray for my nephew and Blanca for opportunities to witness to them and that they would have softened hearts for the word. And please pray for Christine and Virginia Wallerman for salvation and be receptive also, softened hearts.
That was Christine and Virginia?
Yes, Wallerman.
Okay. All right. And they're both have cancer?
Just Christine, but they've always kind of had a, let's just say maybe a wall against Christine or anything.
Okay.
But they seemed, when I went there again recently, they are reading what I sent them. The Lord says, my word will not go void, and I trust that he will work in my heart.
Okay, all right. Any else? Yeah, Mike.
Continue to pray for my son-in-law James. Pray for my daughter. And she said that he's tomorrow will be his third week on chemo. I guess it's not going too well for him. So he has all the side effects on it.
That works on people so differently. Some it doesn't, and I'm sure there's lots of different chemos too. It's not just one thing out there, but some it doesn't seem to bother them too much. Other ones it just knocks them for a loop. So, and okay. Good morning. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to study your word together as we look at this, the day of the Lord. Help us to have a better understanding of what is involved there and what our response ought to be. We do think of Mark's nephew Landon and his girlfriend Bonka. Pray that you would continue to cause them to be open and receptive to your truths, and they might have an understanding of what salvation is all about. Truly trust you alone for salvation. Then too, for Christine and Virginia, pray you'll help Christine as she's dealing with cancer, and that you'll give the doctors wisdom as they work with her, but also you give her an interest in Virginia, interest in spiritual truths, and that they might read and understand the gospel and come to a saving knowledge of Christ through this. We pray for Mike's son-in-law, James, as he's going through starting another third week of his chemo, and side effects are pretty rough on him. We pray that you might help minimize those side effects, and that you cause the chemo to be doing its desired work, to be killing off these cancer cells and shrinking things up. We pray that you'll bring him through this and help the family too to be strong, as it wears and tears on everybody when somebody's going through something like this. We thank you again for your word, for you guide us in our study now, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're looking at 2 Peter 3, 10 to 18. Key verse here today is actually in verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye have, that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. So as we look at this, we're talking about the day of the Lord, and I had hoped to have something up here on the screen to give you kind of a visual of this, but that didn't happen. So you have to kind of relate to this, the things, what all is included in that day of the Lord. But, you know, it's something yet future. And sometimes we think of things that are a ways off into the future. Well, you know, that's a long time down the road, you know, and we don't put too much thought into it. You know, I was thinking, what can we compare that with? And there's no real direct comparisons. But, you know, like, let's say you're a sixth grader, and I realize things change as to when elementary school ends. For me, it used to be sixth grade, then junior high was seventh, eighth, and ninth, but sometimes that gets moved around a little bit. You know, but as a sixth grader, you're not thinking too much about graduating from high school and what lies beyond that, you know. You know, that's a long time down the way. And so, you know, we might be thinking that way about this too, because the events that he refers to here in 2 Peter are a long time down the road, and yet it still ought to have an impact on us today, as we'll see here. But the day of the Lord is really it's not just a one-time event. It's really a time period. There's a lot of different events that happen within that day of the Lord. And it's going to start off with the rapture. Okay, let's kind of think through this here a little bit, just as to what's next. Okay, the rapture takes place. What happens next as far as the earth is concerned? Okay, tribulation. So we got 7 years of tribulation. We're in heaven with the Lord at that time. And what happens at the end of the tribulation? Christ returns, okay, sets up his rule and reign for how long?
1,000 years,
okay? And I believe that is indeed 1,000 years. It's not just a long time, okay? And, okay, so we come to the end of the 1,000 years, and there's a number of different events that happen towards the end of that 1,000 years. Who's not been around for 1,000 years?
Satan.
Satan, yeah. Think anybody missed him? No, I don't think so. No, he's been in the bottomless pit, bound out of the way, not causing any trouble for 1,000 years. And, yeah, he's loosed. And, you know, he's probably been thinking up a lot of bad things to do and ways to accomplish that during those 1,000 years. And so, yeah, he raises some havoc at the end of the 1,000-year rule and reign of Christ, but that's put down in a hurry. And then what? Okay, well, we've got several battles, Armageddon and things. Okay, let's say everything's done at the end of the 1,000 years. What happens at the end of the 1,000 years? Pardon? Judgment. Okay. Great white throne judgment. Who's at the great white throne judgment? The unbelievers. Okay. And so, okay, then we have the great white throne judgment. Then what?
Eternal state.
Pardon? I'm sorry?
The eternal state.
Oh, okay, yeah, we're getting there, all right? But what happens? Pretty big event. What happens? Well, yeah, that's happened when we were up in heaven, okay? But, okay, it's the old heavens, the old earth are done away with. We get a new heavens and a new earth. You know, I'm thinking, what's wrong with the old heaven? But the Lord sees fit to take that away. And this is kind of where 2 Peter, what we're talking about here today, zeroes in on, is the destruction of this earth and the universe as we know it, and a new heavens and a new earth, okay? So that's kind of where we're going. That's all included in this time frame of the day of the Lord, okay? So we've got 1,007 years anyway, and the Old Testament talked about that, talked about judgment that was coming, and, that's still going to happen. He zeroes in on the present heaven and earth, and then the new heavens and earth. We see the passing away of our present earth. Okay, if that's going to happen, this old earth, well, at least it's going to last for another 1,007, okay? So, what does that do to climate change and all the rest of that? Kind of blows that out of the water, doesn't it? Yeah. You know, I'm not saying that there might not be a few pockmarks in the earth from bombs and what have you that get shot off between now and then, but it's still going to be around, okay? And it's not us running around in our cars or our lawnmowers that's going to cause the earth to heat up and we all die, okay? We're going to be around. Somebody's going to be here. We won't be here for all that time. But so we see the passing away of the old earth. And I don't want to drag this out too far, but when they said that we're going to do away with fossil fuels in another 10, 15 years or whatever, does that motivate the oil drillers and stuff to go out and spend a lot of money drilling oil and doing research and so on? No. You're putting your good money in after bad into this, and you're not going to have anything. Well, if this world is not going to be around for a while, then maybe we shouldn't get so attached to it. Okay? I'm all for travel. I like traveling. I like looking around, you know. So if you want to see the Grand Canyon and some of these places, go look at them. and there may be opportunities to do that during the millennial reign of Christ. Got 1,000 years. You probably get vacation time in there somewhere. You can go out looking around. If you always wanted to go to Israel, now's your chance. This is not going to be around forever. And that's not to be a downer, because if God gives us a new heaven and a new earth, don't you expect it's going to be a tad bit better than what we got now? See, we're looking at the after effects of the flood. It looked a whole lot different than that before the flood. Okay, and let's look here at 2 Peter 3:10. He says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, Okay? Well, we all know what that is. It's not like the thief blows the whistle, rings the doorbell to let you know he's coming on in. No, they're sneaking up on you. You're not aware of it. It comes as a surprise. Will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that therein shall be burned up. Wow. You've probably seen some hot fires. Maybe you've had a bonfire or something like that, you know, and your marshmallow stick, whatever, gets kind of hot, you know, and you got to back up from it. Or you've seen a house or something else that's caught on fire and you find things that are melted. And you think, wow, it really must have been hot in here. Well, how hot does it have to get to melt rock and earth, you know, turn it into syrup, right? Look at verse 11, too. He says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, that what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness. So he's saying, okay, if all this is going to be destroyed, it's going to be dissolved, okay, then how ought that to affect us in our holy conversation, not just our verbal conversation, but a holy way of life, okay, and godliness, all right? He says, it ought to have a spiritual impact on our life. Even though it seems like a long way down the road, it ought to have an impact on us here and now. And he's saying in the two ways that it ought to impact us is holy living and godly living. Well, what would, if we were to zero in on, and not that we can make ourselves holy, are any of us, are we going to be completely holy before we get out of here? No. We still have the old nature, right? We still have that capability to sin. But, okay, so if we were holy, though, what would be true of us? If we were to strive for holiness, how would that change our life?
It teaches us in 1 Peter 1:15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation.
Okay. So he says that we are to be holy. Okay, that's what the Lord desires of us. All right? We're to be like him. But what is holiness? I mean, it sounds good, but what's going to change in our life if we were holy?
Conduct.
Yeah, our conduct. Would it be plus something or minus something? Well, okay, I'm fishing. What would there be less of in our life?
Sin.
Okay? So we want to desire, strive after getting rid of sin in our life. Okay? It's kind of like trying to get rid of the bacteria in your life, you know? Well, we can get some kind of a shot. Be careful what kind of shot you get. But if you got an infection, you know, you want to get rid of the bad stuff out of your life. Well, we don't have a injection to get rid of sin out of our life. How do we get rid of sin? Yeah.
I'm thinking of what it says in Psalms 119, and how a man that cleanses weeds by taking heed according to his word.
Okay. We find things in our life that don't match up to God's word, okay? It's going to be sin. And what are we supposed to do when we recognize there's sin in our life? Whitewash, get out the whitewash brush and call it something else, make it look sound better? No. No, confess it. Admit it to God, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay? So we kind of need to root out the sin. Now, they had something under the Jewish, when they, for some of their feasts and things, that they would go through the house and get rid of all the bread, okay? Or, you know, because that was the leavened bread, because that was kind of representative of sin. And they swept the house clean, you know, and what have you. If they had a vacuum cleaner, they'd have used that. But, you know, to kind of look through our lives and say, what's there that really shouldn't be there, and let's get rid of it. Okay, so we're kind of taking stuff out of our life. Well, that kind of it can create a vacuum. So we need to put something good back into it, which is godliness, being like the Lord Jesus, okay? Being like God, okay? So we want to get rid of the sin, and we want to instill, want to get another injection of the good stuff, your spiritual B12, you know, and godliness. So, okay, if we need to recognize sin, we get rid of that, how do we get godliness? How does that become a part of our life? Okay, still comes back to the word, doesn't it? Okay, how are we going to know what Christ is like and what we ought to be like if we're not in here? All right, it's not, you know, it's not just going to sleep on it and wake up godly someday. Okay, not that we can make ourselves godly. Who's helping us out to change our lives? Holy Spirit, right? Okay, He's our teacher. He's our guide. You know, he's the one who works on our hearts and lives to develop the fruits of the Spirit. Okay, just think if we had all those fruits, wow, wouldn't that be great? We'd just be such awesome people. Okay, so that's the desired goal. And again, not just because, and this is part of it, but because the Lord could come back when? Right, you know, that extra hour or whatever. I mean, it can happen in the next hour. We don't know. Thing is, we need to be ready. So we need to be, and usually, I think where people think, we're thinking short term. Okay, I got to get my act together before the rapture takes place, because it's going to take us to heaven, and we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to have to answer up for what we've done in our bodies, okay, what we've done in the flesh. And, you know, the Lord's, we can't pull one over on the Lord. He knows what's been going on in our lives, our whole life, okay? Not just for the last week or so. But he wants us to look beyond that and to increase our vision. And that's further on in the lesson if we get that far. But again, we have kind of a narrow vision of the future. We're just thinking about rapture and heaven. But he's saying we need to broaden our view of eternity and be thinking about, you know, what's the people that are going to get left behind are going to have to go through the tribulation. We're going to have to face the Lord Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. We're coming back. We're going to be serving the Lord for those 1,000 years. Then all these other things are going to happen. The disillusionment or destroying of earth and heaven as we are aware of. And we're going to get a new one. Okay? We're starting all over. Okay? And there's going to be an absence of what there? Sin. Okay? Yeah. Satan's not going to be in there to kind of mess things up. And that may be one of the reasons why the Lord wants to have a new heaven. Just, you know, sweep out the crumbs. We're starting fresh all over again, man. And we don't want any remnants of Satan or those who followed him around. Okay, he's tarnished things a bit. So we're going to start all over again. And so he says there's a threefold thing that takes place here. First of all, the heavens are going to pass away with a great roar. Okay, now you heard. Did you hear a little roar last night with a 50 mile an hour wind or whatever wind gusts that we had? And this is going to be a whole lot more than that. Okay, And he says here that it's going to be, it's that roar, that great noise is going to be when things start pulling apart. Okay, on the way over here, I think it's Mayflower Street or whatever that one is down over here. Pretty good sized tree laying in somebody's yard. And only this is not just going to uproot some trees. This is going to start causing things to start coming apart. All right. We saw Elijah, you know, when he was in the cave and God with the wind. Remember the rocks and everything, the mountains were falling down. Okay. Well, that's the sort of thing that's going to happen. Okay, so we got that noise of everything swiftly passing through the air. It's going to make like a tornado, like a, you know, a kid's picnic or something, you know. Secondly, things are going to melt with fervent heat. Okay, and you've seen the after effects of that. Maybe have you ever left a spatula or something on the stove, got a little close to the burner or that where the heat comes out of the oven, and it's kind of, you know, looking a little different shape than it was to start with. It's going to have such heat that it talks about that the elements, okay? And the writer here says these elements, again, it's talking about the element. Usually we think in heavens, it's just, okay, it's, you know, that's like up above the earth where the astronauts fly around and maybe out as far as the moon, something like that. And yet he's saying, no, it includes a whole lot more than that. We're talking about the stars and the other planets. this universe as we know it, if you've got telescope and or you know you're dragging out your magazines and seeing the pictures of these, how they all align up, that's going to be gone. Okay, and it's going to melt with heat. Now where it all goes, you know, God's in charge of that. But it says too, this word melt, usually we're thinking with fervent heat, but it also means to break loose. Things are just going to start to explode. They're going to fall apart with this intense heat. And some might try to explain this away as, well, you know, that's climate change for you. I mean, that was the reason we had a hurricane and all those other things. It's, you know, it's all due to climate change. And so, yeah. Right. Or that it was some kind of global nuclear war. No, it's way beyond anything like that. Okay. This is, God's doing this. Man's not doing it. All right. And God's going to do it many times over what anything man might be able to come up with. And so the passing away of our present heavens, and this is, happens again at the end of after the rule and reign of Christ here on this earth. And now John had seen some things happening in the heavens during the tribulation time, as he wrote in Revelation. But Peter's, what he's talking about here is another 1,000 years down the road yet. Okay. And we're going to get a new heavens and a new earth. But we see here that it's also, again, it's melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Fire is a part of it. And so everything that we see is temporary. Okay? It's kind of like when you go on vacation. You know, it's a temporary setting, whether you're sitting by the beach or the pool or wherever you happen to be vacationing, okay, it's not going to be like that forever. It's a temporary thing. And so everything that's out there, doesn't matter how old it is now or how long it's been around, it's going to be gone. All right? And the only thing that's going to be permanent is what God creates again, this new heavens and this new earth. And so he's saying, in light of this, okay, if we think about what we've studied previous to this, last week talked about the scoffers. Rapture's never going to happen. Lord's never come back, you know, because, you know, it's been a couple thousand years and nothing's happened, you know. So, you know, that's a promise that's not going to take place. And these guys weren't believers anyway. And why wouldn't they want the Lord to come back? Judgment. And they're going to be in front of the judge, all right? They don't want that to happen. So we're just going to say we don't believe in it. Like a lot of people say, oh, I don't believe in hell. Well, okay, go ahead. Don't believe in hell. That going to change things. There still is one, you know. And if you don't know Christ as Savior, that's going to be your home for a good while. And so he said, and rather than putting all of our time and energy and everything else into all this stuff that's around us, you know, kind of living in the here and now, we need to shift our thinking from the here and now to eternity and be thinking about what's yet coming. And we should be focusing in on the spiritual side of things and seeking to live lives of godliness and holiness, preparing for the future. And in doing so, it's not just a list of do's and don'ts, but it's a change of life, emphasizing the spiritual more than the material. Now, that doesn't mean we stop going to work or anything else. We still got to live and, you know, rake leaves or maybe. Do you see how nice our lawn looks? I don't know what it looks like on the other side of their church. There might be leaves this high, and we helped them out. But we still have things we have to do. But yet, at the same time, we need to be focusing in on spiritual side of things, not just trying to, you know, be happy with everything that we've got here now. No, that doesn't sound right either. We can be happy. We can be content with what we have. But to realize that what we have isn't going to last forever. We're not taking it with us. You know, the old saying, there's no U-Haul behind the hearse. And but we can expect the new, you know, to look, you know, I don't even know where to start. You know, if you're going to have this little imagination station here, what would that new heavens and that new earth look like? We can look and see what current heavens kind of like, you know, and we'll. But yet, what would we like? God's like saying, okay, y'all put your wish list together, and we'll see if we can't make that happen in the new earth. You know, again, I still like the beach, and yet it says there's no more sea. And, okay, well, anyway, we'll be happy and content, but there's some new stuff coming, Gail.
I was thinking, I heard someone see, like, the new earth would be like it wasn't
in the garden. Yeah. Well, it's very likely. Like I said, the present earth doesn't look like what it did before the flood, you know? I mean, like I say, Garden Eden, and wow, wouldn't that be awesome? You just go around, pick the fruit off. The right trees. I don't know if we're still going to be careful what tree you pick up. If there's going to be another one of those trees, don't touch that one. But yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Things are going to be restored.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, like I say, Satan's out of the way. And he's kind of the ringleader, and the other guys, his demons, his helpers, are probably going to be restrained to a great degree. There's still going to be, okay, why is there still the capability of sin during the millennium?
Because people are born during the millennium.
Right, people are that survive the tribulation go into the millennium, have kids, their kids have. You'd have a lot of kids and generations in 1,000 years, right? And well, look at America. I mean, 1,000 years ago we weren't here. Now it's full of people. But and so yeah, and they still have the capability of sinning, but it's not going to be quite the same as it is now. You know, with a lenient DA, and if you do something wrong, we slap your hands and turn you loose. Now, I'm thinking this whether there's a real police force or not, Lord's not going to put up with a lot of nonsense for that 1,000 years, okay? People are going to behave. And so let's look here. We got a few minutes. Let's look at what's coming here. He says, verse 12, he says, looking for and hastening, kind of get excited, we're moving towards this. He says, looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God, where the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Okay, you know, that's going to happen, you know, but it doesn't say how long it takes for that to happen. But we also see that there's, the old's passing away, but we've got something more coming in its place. Nevertheless, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Okay? The earth is going to be characterized by righteousness. Is that what we characterize our present earth as? No. Okay, but the new one's going to be that way. Okay? And because there's not going to be any unbelievers, there's not going to be any sin, you know, there. And so we have some great events coming up, and God's going to rearrange this universe with new creations. And look with me at an Old Testament passage here. Look with me to Isaiah 65. And it was kind of interesting because Joey was asking me questions here yesterday. And I couldn't hardly believe the questions she's asking me, you know. But, you know, talking about, okay, when we get to heaven and so on, are we going to be remembering, you know, earth and so on? So, what do you think? Are we going to be sitting around thinking, you remember back in 2020 when COVID hit? Or whatever else that, you know, there might be some good things you want to remember too. Okay, but this kind of answers our questions. Isaiah 65. Well, let's look here at verse 17 for a minute. It says, "For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind." Yeah. One for mine. So we're not going to spend a lot of time reminiscing about the good old days or the bad old days or any, you know, it's not going to be a part. We're going to have so much currently going on that we're excited about that we're not going to be thinking too much about, you know, the past. Okay? And
if we don't remember anything about our lives, then how does that reconcile with remembering what Jesus has done for us on the cross?
I believe you.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're still going to see him. We'll still see the nail-scarred hands. And I think that part of our memory, you know, the things that God wants us to remember, I think, are going to be there. Because that's still truth for eternity. But okay, I think he's basically talking about the things that we were participating in on the earth, you know, is something that we're not going to be taking a lot of time here. Let me look here at Let's see, a verse, 66. Just a minute here, let's look at this verse. Chapter 66, verse 22, as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed in your name remain. Okay, so again, he's clear back in Isaiah. You know, this is like 600 years before Christ. They were already talking about a new heavens and a new earth. And so, you know, it's Old Testament as well as New Testament. And Tyler brings up probably is a good point, and I don't know 100% how to answer that other than the fact that, you know, God, we're still going to remember God's truths. You know, the Bible's not going to be tossed out. Who knows? We might be going to remedial class. There's a few things we need to catch up on or be reminded of even when we get to heaven. I don't know. But that's still going to be true. And we're still going to be worshiping the Savior because of what he did for us. Okay. Throughout eternity. That much is I'm satisfied. But righteousness is going to be the main characteristic of this new heavens and a new earth. And so he's looking for us for changes to take place in our own lives. So we can get back here to 2 Peter 3. Let's look at verse 14. Again, he's saying, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Okay? He referred to those, the scoffers and the false teachers, as having spots and being blame people that you could blame. But he said that ought not to be true of us. There needs to be a purity in our own lives. And then he says, too, you know, for those that were saying, again, it's, you know, it's not going to happen. It's been so long, you know, that, you know, God's forgot about it or whatever. He says, he explains this again in verse 15. He says, the count that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. So, again, he's talking about the long suffering or the patience of the Lord. That's why he's extended it. He's given people more opportunity, you know. It's like, you know, would they have Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving, all these big sales? Well, now it's the month of November is Black Friday sales, you know. We're extending the sale for a few more days. Well, God is extending the time here, his patience, so that more people might be saved to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ before the rapture takes place. And he's doing it. I mean, I'm sure it would have been easier for God just to, you know, wash his hands of this whole thing a long time ago. But he's still long-suffering. He's patient with us. And then he talks a little bit here about Paul and his epistles. Paul's telling the same thing that Peter is saying. And but he gives a little bit of a warning here in verse 17. He says, and therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before. Okay, so you've known this truth. You've been taught this truth about the future, what's going to happen, that the Lord is coming back. He's saying, beware. Okay, be alert, lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. You know, there are believers who get led astray by false teachers. They listen to their line, and pretty soon they've forgotten what they knew before, and they're following after something new that may sound attractive at that particular time. And but instead, he says, you know, don't forget what you've been taught and get led astray. But instead, he says there in verse 18, but grow in grace, okay, and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. So God wants us to continue to grow, to mature as believers, to grow in our knowledge of the Lord, that's going to keep us secure in the sense that we're not going to forget what we've learned early on in our lives or recently because of some error that's being taught by somebody that's close to us and trying to lead us astray. We've got to stay tuned in to the Lord, okay? Can we ever kind of let our foot off the gas and think I can kind of coast on in from here? I know all I need to know. No. No, we need to stay steadfast, zeroed in on the Scriptures, and looking to the Lord, looking to the Holy Spirit to help us day by day. Otherwise, we can fall by the wayside as well. Not losing our salvation, but being able to be effectively used for the Lord. All right, so we think about this. A couple things just kind of in closing here. We talked about, okay, what do we need to change? How are we going to grow in our knowledge of the truth? Well, just carrying it around is not going to do it. We've got to open the pages and get it inside our memory bank. We also talked about, you know, the fact that we're to be characterized by holiness, kind of rooting out the sin and looking towards godliness, seeking to become more like the Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will help us. We can pray to that end. And that's a prayer that God would answer. He desires us to be more like Him. We're going to be completely like Him when the rapture takes place. But He doesn't want us to wait till then to get started on that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Some of this looks like it's a long time off in the future, but at the same time, we need to broaden our view of eternity. It's more than just rapture in heaven. There's a whole lot more that's involved in that. And you pray that You would help kind of wean us off of the things of this earth and that we would become more spiritually minded than materially minded, because this is all going to get left behind and ultimately done away with. If it was worth anything, the Lord would let us take it with Him. But He's going to have something a whole lot better on the other end for us. And we just pray You'll continue to challenge us, encourage our hearts, help us to think about the need for both holiness and godliness in our lives and take the necessary steps to make that happen. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so next Sunday we're doing something we don't do very often, but we won't have Sunday school, okay? Because we found that even though people may want to be here, you know, this I'll be with you in spirit, but I'm going to be standing over the stove at home. So, because a lot of you are cooking up stuff, kind of hard to get everything ready, get it here. And somebody else has got to keep it all hot for 2 hours, you know. So we'll give you the Sunday morning off or Sunday school, and hope you'll be here with everything, you know, ready to go downstairs. And then we'll come up here, have our Thanksgiving service, and then we'll go downstairs and enjoy a good meal together. Okay. And so, all right. Lord bless you. Oh, don't forget, we'll hit the pause button for a couple minutes after the morning service, but then we do want to have our business meeting. Shouldn't take long, but if you haven't gotten your finance report out of your mailbox, shame on you. But otherwise, pick that up, bring it upstairs. I do have a few extra, but all right, thank you. Oh, we do have more boxes back there. So if you need one of those, so. Park downhill with the wind blowing up. Once in a while, especially when the wind blows, the seal on our front door is not the best. And it's got a howl. Well, there's a tin strap, and it's just
I don't know what you can do with it.
I know.